the 10th and 11th of July. Lord's Day. Up and by water towards noon to Somerset House, and walked to my Lord Sandwich's, and there dined with my lady and the children. And after some ordinary discourse with my lady, after dinner took our leaves, and my wife hers, in order to her going to the country tomorrow. But my lord took not occasion to speak one word of my father or mother about the children at all, which I wonder at, and begin I will not. Here my lady showed us my Lady Castlemaine's picture, finely done, given my lord, and a most beautiful picture it is. Thence with my Lady Jem and Mr. Sidney to St. Giles Church, and there heard a long poor sermon. Thence set them down, and in their coach to Kate Joyce's christening, where much company, good service of sweetmeats, and after an hour's stay left them, and in my lord's coach, his noble rich coach, home, and there my wife fell to putting things in order against her going tomorrow, and I to read, and so to bed, where I not well, and so had no pleasure at all this night with my poor wife. But betimes up this morning, and getting ready, we by coach to Holborn, where at 9 o'clock they set out, and I and my man Will on horse by her to Barnet, a very pleasant day, and there dined with her company, which was very good, a pretty gentlewoman with her that goes but to Huntingdon, and a neighbour to us in town. Here we stayed 2 hours, and then parted for altogether, and my poor wife I shall soon want, I'm sure. Thence I and Will to see the Wells, half a mile off, and there I drank 3 glasses and went and walked, and came back and drank 2 more. The woman would have had me drunk 3 more, but I could not, my belly being full, but this wrought very well, and so we rode home round by Kingsland, Hackney, and Mile End, till we were quite weary, and my water working at least 7 or 8 times upon the road, which pleased me well. And so home, weary, and not being very well, I betimes to bed. And there fell into a most mighty sweat in the night, about 11 o'clock, and there, knowing what money I have in the house, and hearing a noise, I begin to sweat worse and worse, till I melted almost to water. I rung and could not in half an hour make either of the wenches hear me, and this made me fear the more, lest they might be gagged. And then I begin to think that there was some design in a stone being flung at the window over our stairs this evening, by which the thieves meant to try what looking there would be after them, and know our company. These thoughts and fears I had, and do hence apprehend the fears of all rich men that are covetous, and have much money by them. At last Jane rose, and then I understand it was only the dog wants a lodging, and so made a noise. So to bed, but hardly slept. At last did, and so till morning. The 12th of July. And so Rose, called up by my Lord Peterborough's gentleman about getting his Lord's money today of Mr. Povey, wherein I took such order that it was paid and I had my £50 brought me, which comforts my heart. We sat at the office all the morning, then at home dined alone, sad for want of company and not being very well, and know not how to eat alone. After dinner, down with Sir George Carteret, Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten to view, and did like a place by Deptford Yard to lay masts in. By and by comes Mr. Coventry, and after a little stay, he and I down to Blackwall, he having a mind to see that yard, which we did, and fine storehouses there are, and good docks, but of no great profit to him that oweth them for aught we see. So home by water with him, having good discourse by the way, and so I to the office a while, and late home to supper and to bed. The 13th of July. Up and to my office, at noon, after having at an alehouse hard by discoursed with one Mr. Tyler, a neighbour, and one Captain Sanders, about the discovery of some pursers that have sold their provisions, I to my Lord Sandwich, thinking to have dined there, but they, not dining at home, I with Captain Ferrers to Mr. Barwell, the King's Squire Saddler, where, about this time 12 months, I dined before at a good venison pasty. The like we had now, and very good company, Mr. Tresham and others. Thence to Whitehall to the fishery, and there did little. So by water home, and there met Lanyon, etc., about Tangier matters, and so late to my office and thence home and to bed. Mr. Moore was with me late, to desire me to come to my Lord Sandwich tomorrow morning, which I shall, but wonder what my business is. The 14th of July. My mind being doubtful what the business should be, I rose little after 4 o'clock, and abroad, walked to my Lord's, and nobody up, but the porter riz out of bed to me. So I back again to Fleet Street, and there bought a little book of law, and thence, hearing a psalm sung, I went into St. Dunstan's, and there heard prayers read, which it seems is done there every morning at 6 o'clock, a thing I never did do at a chapel, but the college chapel, in all my life. Thence to my Lord's again, and my Lord being up was sent for up, and he and I alone. He did begin with a most solemn profession of the same confidence in and love for me that he ever had, and then told me what a misfortune was fallen upon me and him. In me, by a displeasure which my Lord Chancellor did show to him last night against me in the highest and most passionate manner that ever any man did speak, even to the not hearing of anything to be said to him. But he told me that he did say all that could be said for a man as to my faithfulness and duty to his lordship, and did me the greatest right imaginable. And what should the business be but that I should be forward to have the trees in Clarendon Park marked and cut down, which he, it seems, hath bought of my Lord Albemarle, when God knows I am the most innocent man in the world in it, and did nothing of myself nor knew of his concernment therein, but barely obeyed my Lord Treasurer's warrant for the doing thereof, and said that I did most ungentlemanlike with him, and had justified the rogues in cutting down a tree of his, and that I had sent the veriest fanatic that is in England to mark them, on purpose to nose him, all which I did assure my Lord was most utterly false, and nothing like it true, and told my Lord the whole passage. My Lord doth seem most nearly affected with him, partly, I believe, for me, and partly for himself. So he advised me to wait presently upon my Lord, and clear myself in the most perfect manner I could, with all submission and assurance that I am his creature, both in this and all other things, and that I do own that all I have is derived through my Lord Sandwich from his lordship. So, full of horror, I went and found him busy in trials of law in his great room, and it being sitting day, durst not stay, but went to my Lord and told him so, whereupon he directed me to take him after dinner, and so away I home, leaving my Lord mightily concerned for me. I to the office, and there sat busy all the morning, at noon to the change, and from the change over with Allsop, and the others to the Pope's Head Tavern, and there stayed a quarter of an hour, and concluded upon this that in case I get them no more than 3 shillings 1.5 pence per week a man, I should have of them but £150 per annum, but to have it without any adventure or charge. But if I got them 3 shillings and 2 pence, then they would give me £300 in the like manner. So I directed them to draw up their tender in a line or two against the afternoon, and to meet me at Whitehall. So I left them and to my Lord Chancellor's, and there, coming out after dinner, I accosted him, telling him that I was the unhappy Pepys that hath fallen into his high displeasure, and came to desire him to give me leave to make myself better understood to his lordship, assuring him of my duty and service. He answered me very pleasingly that he was confident upon the score of my Lord Sandwich's character of me, but that he had reason to think what he did, and desired me to call upon him some evening. I named tonight, and he accepted of it. So, with my heart light, I to Whitehall, and there, after understanding by a stratagem, and yet appearing wholly desirous not to understand Mr. Gordon's price, when he desired to show it me, I went down and ordered matters in our tender so well, that at the meeting by and by I was ready, with Mr. Gordon's and his, both directed in a letter to me, to give the board their 2 tenders. But there being none but the General Monk and Mr. Coventry and Povey and I did not think fit to expose them to view now, but put it off till Saturday. And so, with good content, rose. Thence I to the Half Moon against the change to acquaint Lanyon and his friends of our proceeding, and thence to my Lord Chancellor's, and there heard several trials, wherein I perceived my Lord is a most able and ready man. After all done, he himself called, "Come, Mr. Pepys, you and I will take a turn in the garden." So he was led downstairs, having the gout, and there walked with me, I think, above an hour, talking most friendly, yet cunningly. I told him clearly how things were, how ignorant I was of his lordship's concernment in it, how I did not do nor say one word singly, but what was done with the act of the whole board. He told me by name that he was more angry with Sir George Carteret than with me, and also with the whole body of the board. But thinking who it was of the board that knew him least, he did place his fear upon me. But he finds that he's indebted to none of his friends there. I think I did thoroughly appease him, till he thanked me for my desire and pains to satisfy him. And upon my desiring to be directed who I should of his servants advise with about this business, he told me nobody, but would be glad to hear from me himself. He told me he would not direct me in anything, that it might not be said that the Lord Chancellor did labour to abuse the King, or, as I offered, direct the suspending the report of the purveyors. But I see what he means, and will make it my work to do him service in it. But, Lord, to see how he is incensed against poor Dean, as a fanatic, rogue, and I know not what. And what he did was done in spite to his lordship among all his friends and tenants. He did plainly say that he would not direct me in anything, for he would not put himself into the power of any man to say that he did so and so, but plainly told me as if he would be glad I did something. Lord, to see how we poor wretches dare not do the King good service, for fear of the greatness of these men. He named Sir George Carteret and Sir John Minnis and the rest, and that he was as angry with them all as me. But it was pleasant to think that while he was talking to me, comes into the garden Sir George Carteret, and my lord avoided speaking with him, and made him and many others stay expecting him, while I walked up and down above an hour, I think, and would have me walk with my hat on. And yet, after all this, there hath been so little ground for all this his jealousy of me, that I am sometimes afeard that he doth this only in policy, to bring me to his side by scaring me, or else, which is worse, to try how faithful I would be to the King. But I rather think the former of the two. I parted with great assurance how I acknowledged all I had to come from his lordship, which he did not seem to refuse, but with great kindness and respect parted. So I by coach home, calling at my lord's, but he not within. At my office late, and so home to eat something, being almost starved for want of eating my dinner today, and so to bed, my head being full of great and many businesses of import to me. The 15th of July. Up and to my Lord Sandwich's, where he sent for me up, and I did give my Lord an account of what had passed with my Lord Chancellor yesterday, with which he was well pleased, and advised me by all means to study in the best manner I could to serve him in this business. After this discourse ended, he began to tell me that he had now pitched upon his day of going to sea upon Monday next, and that he would now give me an account how matters are with him. He told me that his work now in the world is only to keep up his interest at court, having little hopes to get more considerably, he saying that he hath now about £8,000 per annum. It is true, he says, he oweth about £10,000. But he hath been at great charges in getting things to this pass in his estate, besides his building and goods that he hath bought. He says he hath now evened his reckonings at the wardrobe till Michaelmas last, and hopes to finish it to Lady Day before he goes. He says now there is due, too, £7,000 to him there, if he knew how to get it paid, besides £2,000 that Mr. Montague doth owe him. As to his interest, he says that he hath had all the injury done him that ever man could have, by another bosom friend that knows all his secrets, by Mr. Montague. But he says that the worst of it all is past, and he gone out and hated his very person by the King, and he believes the more upon the score of his carriage to him, and that the Duke of York did say a little while since, in his closet, that he did hate him because of his ungrateful carriage to my Lord of Sandwich. He says he is as great with the Chancellor, or greater than ever in his life, that with the King he is the like, and told me an instance that whereas he formerly was of the private counsel to the King before he was last sick, and that by the sickness an interruption was made in his attendance upon him, The king did not constantly call him, as he used to do, to his private council, only in businesses of the sea and the like. But of late the king did send a message to him by Sir Harry Bennet, to excuse the king to my lord that he hath not of late sent for him, as he used to do, to his private council, for it was not out of any distaste, but to avoid giving offence to some others, whom he did not name, but my lord supposes it might be Prince Rupert, or it may be only that the king would rather pass it by in excuse than be thought unkind. But that now he did desire him to attend more constantly, which he hath of late done, and the king never more kind to him in his life than now. The Duke of York, as much as is possible, and in the business of late, when I was to speak to my lord about his going to sea, he says that he finds the Duke did it with the greatest ingenuity and love in the world. And whereas, says my lord, here is a wise man hard by that thinks himself so, and would be thought so, and it may be is in a degree so, naming by and by my Lord Crewe, would have had me conditioned with him that Prince Rupert nor anybody should come over my head, and I know not what. The Duke himself hath caused in his commission that he be made admiral of this, and what other ships or fleets shall hereafter be put out after these, which is very noble. He tells me, in these cases and that of Mr. Montague's and all others, he finds that bearing of them patiently is his best way, without noise or trouble, and things wear out of themselves and come fair again. But, says he, take it from me never to trust too much to any man in the world, for you put yourself into his power, and the best-seeming friend and real friend, as to the present, may have or take occasion to fall out with you, and then out comes all. Then he told me for Sir Harry Bennet, though they were always kind, yet now it is become to an acquaintance and familiarity above ordinary, that for these months he hath done no business but with my lord's advice in his chamber, and promises all faithful love to him and service upon all occasions. My lord says that he hath the advantage of being able by his experience to help and advise him, and he believes that that chiefly doth invite Sir Harry to this manner of treating him. Now, says my lord, the only and the greatest embarrass that I have in the world is how to behave myself to Sir Harry Bennet and my Lord Chancellor, in case that there doth lie anything under the embers about my Lord Bristol, which nobody can tell. For then, says he, I must appear for one or other, and I will lose all I have in the world rather than desert my Lord Chancellor. So that, says he, I know not for my life what to do in that case. For Sir Henry Bennet's love is come to that height, and his confidence that he hath given my lord a character and will oblige my lord to correspond with him. This, says he, is the whole condition of my estate and interest, which I tell you because I know not whether I shall see you again or no. Then as to the voyage, he thinks it will be of charge to him and no profit, but that he must not now look after nor think to increase, but study to make good what he hath, that what is due to him from the wardrobe or elsewhere may be paid, which otherwise would fail, and all a man hath be but small content to him. So we seem to take leave one of another, my lord of me, desiring me that I would write to him and give him information upon all occasions in matters that concern him, which, put together with what he preambled with yesterday, makes me think that my lord doth truly esteem me still, and desires to preserve my service to him, which I do bless God for. In the middle of our discourse, my lady Crewe came in to bring my lord word that he hath another son, my lady being brought to bed just now. I did not think her time had been so nigh, but she is well brought to bed, for which God be praised, and send my lord to study the laying up of something the more. Thence with Creed to St. James, and missing Mr. Coventry, to Whitehall, where, staying for him in one of the galleries, there comes out of the chair-room Mistress Stuart in a most lovely form, with her hair all about her ears, having her picture taking there. There was the king and 20 more, I think, standing by all the while, and a lovely creature she in this dress seemed to be. Thence to the change by coach, and so home to dinner, and then to my office. In the evening, Mr. Hill, Andrews, and I to my chamber to sing, which we did very pleasantly, and then to my office again, where very late, and so home with my mind. I bless God in good state of ease and body of health. Only my head at this juncture very full of business how to get something, among others what this rogue Creed will do before he goes to sea. For I would fain be rid of him, and see what he means to do, for I will then declare myself his firm friend or enemy. The 16th of July. Up in the morning my head mightily confounded with the great deal of business I have upon me to-day, but to the office, and there dispatched Mr. Creed's business pretty well about his bill. But then there comes Will Howe for my lord's bill of imprest for £500, to carry with him this voyage. And so I was at a loss how to carry myself in it, Creed being there. But there being no help, I delivered it to them both, and let them contend, which I perceive they did both endeavour to have it. But Will Howe took it, and the other had the discretion to suffer it. But I think I cleared myself to Creed, that it passed not from any practice of mine. At noon rose and did some necessary business at the change. Thence to Trinity House to a dinner which Sir George Carteret makes there as master this year. Thence to Whitehall to the Tangier Committee, and there, above my expectation, got the business of our contract for the victualling carried for my people, viz. Allsop, Lanyon, and Yeapsley. And by their promise I do thereby get £300 per annum to myself, which doth overjoy me, and the matter is left to me to draw up. Mr. Lewis was in the gallery, and is mightily amused at it, and I believe Mr. Gordon will make some stir about it, for he wrote to Mr. Coventry today about it, to argue why he should for the King's convenience have it. But Mr. Coventry most justly did argue freely for them that served cheapest. Thence walked a while with Mr. Coventry in the gallery, and first find that he is mighty cold in his present opinion of Mr. Peter Pett, for his flagging, and doing things so lazily there. And he did also surprise me with a question why Dean did not bring in their report of the timber of Clarendon. What he means thereby I know not, but at present put him off. Nor do I know how to steer myself, but I must think of it and advise with my Lord Sandwich. Thence with Creed by coach to my Lord Sandwich's, and there I got Mr. Moore to give me my lord's hand for my receipt of £109, more of my money of Sir George Carteret, so that then his debt to me will be under £500, I think. This doth ease my mind also. Thence carried him and Will Howe into London, and set them down at Sir George Carteret to receive some money, and I home, and there busy very late, and so home to supper and to bed with my mind in pretty good ease, my business being in a pretty good condition everywhere. The 17th of July. Lord's Day. All the morning at my office doing business there, it raining hard. So dined at home alone. After dinner walked to my lord's, and there found him and much other guests at table at dinner, and it seems they have christened his young son today, called him James. I got a piece of cake. I got my lord to sign and seal my business about my selling of Brampton land, which, though not so full as I would, yet is as full as I can at present. Walked home again, and there fell to read, and by comes my uncle White, Dr. Burnett, and another gentleman, and talked and drank, and the doctor showed me the manner of eating turpentine, which pleases me well, for it is with great ease. So, they being gone, I to supper and to bed. The 18th of July. Up and walked to my lord's, and there took my leave of him, he seeming very friendly to me, in as serious a manner as ever in his life, and I believe he is very confident of me. He sets out this morning for Deal, thence to St. James to the Duke, and there did our usual business. He discourses very freely of a war with Holland, to begin about winter, so that I believe we shall come to it. Before we went up to the Duke, Sir George Carteret and I did talk together in the park about my Lord Chancellor's business of the timber, he telling me freely that my Lord Chancellor was never so angry with him in all his life as he was for this business, in great passion, and that when he saw me there, he knew what it was about, and plots now with me how we may serve my Lord, which I am mightily glad of, and I hope together we may do it. Thence to Westminster to my barber's, to have my periwig he lately made me cleansed of its nits, which vexed me cruelly, that he should put such a thing into my hands. Here, meeting his maid Jane, that hath lived with them so long, I talked with her, and sending her of an errand to Dr. Clark's, did meet her and took her into a little ale-house in Brewer's Yard, and there did sport with her, without any knowledge of her, though, and a very pretty innocent girl she is. Thence to my Lord Chancellor's, but he being busy, I went away to the change, and so home to dinner. By and by comes Creed, and I out with him to Fleet Street, and he to Mr. Povey's. I to my Lord Chancellor's, and missing him again, walked to Povey's, and there saw his new perspective in his closet. Povey, to my great surprise and wonder, did here attack me in his own and Mr. Bland's behalf, that I should do for them both with the new contractors for the victualling of the garrison, which I am ashamed that he should ask of me, nor did I believe that he was a man that did seek benefit in such poor things. Besides that he professed that he did not believe that I would have any hand myself in the contract, and yet here declares that he himself would have profit by it, and himself did move me that Sir William Ryder might join, and ford, with Gordon. I told him I had no interest in them, but I fear they must do something to him, for he told me that those of the Mole do promise to consider him. Thence home, and Creed with me, and there he took occasion to own his obligations to me, and did lay down 20 pieces in gold upon my shelf in my closet, which I did not refuse, but wish and expected should have been more. But, however, this is better than nothing, and now I am out of expectation, and shall from henceforward know how to deal with him. After discourse of settling his matters here, we went out by coach, and he light at the Temple, and there took final leave of me, in order to his following my lord tomorrow. I to my Lord Chancellor, and discoursed his business with him. I perceive, and he says plainly, that he will not have any man to have it in his power to say that my Lord Chancellor did contrive the wronging the king of his timber, but yet I perceive he would be glad to have service done him therein, and told me Sir George Carteret hath told him that he and I would look after his business, to see it done in the best manner for him. Of this I was glad, and so away. Thence home, and late with my Tangier men about drawing up their agreement with us, wherein I find much trouble, and after doing as much as we could to-night, broke up, and I to bed. The 19th of July. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, at noon dined alone at home. After dinner Sir William Batten and I down by water to Woolwich, where, coming to the rope yard, we are told that Mr. Faulkner, who hath been ill of a relapse these 2 days, is just now dead. We went up to his widow, who is sick in bed also, the poor woman in great sorrow, and entreats our friendship, which we shall, I think, in everything do for her. I'm sure I will. Thence to the dock, and there in Sheldon's garden ate some fruit. So to Deptford a little, and thence home, it raining mightily, and being cold I doubted my health after it. At the office till 9 o'clock about Sir William Warren's contract for masts, and then at home with Lanyon and Yeebsley till 12 and past, about their contract for Tangier, wherein they and I differed, for I would have it drawn to the king's advantage as much as might be, which they did not like, but parted good friends. However, when they were gone, I wished that I had forborne any disagreement till I had had their promise to me in writing. They being gone, I to bed. The 20th of July. Up and a while to my office, and then home with Mr. Dean till dinner, discoursing upon the business of my Lord Chancellor's timber in Clarendon Park, and how to make a report therein without offending him, which, at last, I drew up, and hope it will please him. But I would to God neither I nor he ever had anything to have done with it. Dined together with a good pig, and then out by coach to Whitehall to the committee for fishing. But nothing done, it being a great day to-day there, upon drawing at the lottery of Sir Arthur Slingsby. I got in and stood by the 2 queens and the Duchess of York, and just behind my Lady Castlemaine, who I do heartily adore. And good sport it was to see how most that did give their £10 did go away with a pair of gloves only for their lot, and one gentlewoman, one Mistress Fish, with the only blank. And one I stayed to see drew a suit of hangings valued at £430, and they say are well worth the money, or near it. One other suit there is better than that, but very many lots of 3 and 4 score pounds. I observed the king and queens did get but as poor lots as any else, but the wisest man I met with was Mr. Chumley, who insured as many as would from drawing of the one blank for 12 pence, in which case there was the whole number of persons to one, which I think was 300 or 400, and so he insured about 200 for 200 shillings, so that he could not have lost if one of them had drawn it, for there was enough to pay the 10 pounds. But it happened another drew it, and so he got all the money he took. I left the lottery and went to a play, only a piece of it, which was at the Duke's house, worse and worse, just the same manner of play, and writ, I believe, by the same man as The Adventures of 5 Hours. Very pleasant it was, and I begin to admire Harris more than ever. Thence to Westminster to see Creed, and he and I took a walk in the park. He is ill and not able yet to set out after my lord, but will do tomorrow. So home, and late at my office, and so home to bed. This evening, being moonshine, I played a little late upon my flageolet in the garden. But being at Westminster Hall, I met with great news, that Mistress Lane is married to one Martin, one that serves Captain Marsh. She has gone abroad with him today, very fine. I must have a bout with her very shortly, to see how she finds marriage. The 21st of July. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, among other things, making a contract with Sir William Warren for almost 1,000 Gottenburg masts, the biggest that ever was made in the navy, and wholly of my composing, and a good one, I hope, it is for the king. Dined at Sir William Batten, where I have not ate these many months. Sir George Carteret, Mr. Coventry, Sir John Minnis, and myself there only, and my lady. A good venison pasty, and very merry and pleasant I made myself with my lady, and she is much to me. This morning to the office comes Nicholas Osborne, Mr. Gordon's clerk, to desire of me what piece of plate I would choose to have, £100 or thereabouts, bestowed upon me in, he having order to lay out so much, and out of his freedom with me doth of himself come to make this question. I a great while urged my unwillingness to take any, not knowing how I could serve Mr. Gordon, but left it wholly to himself. So at noon I find brought home in fine leather cases a pair of the noblest flagons that ever I saw all days of my life. Whether I shall keep them or no I cannot tell, for it is to oblige me to him in that business of the Tangier Victualling, wherein I doubt I shall not, but glad I am to see that I shall be sure to get something on one side or other, have it which will. So, with a merry heart, I looked upon them and locked them up. After dinner to my Lord Chancellor's, a good account of his business, and he is very well pleased therewith, and carries himself with great discretion to me, without seeming over-glad or beholding to me, and yet I know that he doth think himself very well served by me. Thence to Westminster and to Mistress Lane's lodging, to give her joy, and there suffered me to deal with her as I used to do. And by and by her husband comes, a sorry simple fellow, and his letter to her, which she proudly showed me, a simple, silly, nonsensical thing, a man of no discourse, and, I fear, married her to make a prize of, which he is mistaken in. And a sad wife, I believe, she will prove to him, for she urged me to appoint a time, as soon as he's gone out of town, to give her a meeting next week. So, by water with a couple of cousins of Mistress Lane's, and set them down at Queenhive, and I through bridge home, and there late at business, and so home to supper and to bed. The 22nd of July. Up and to my office, where busy all the morning, at noon to the change, and so home to dinner, and then down by water to Deptford, where, coming too soon, I spent an hour in looking round the yard and putting Mr. Shish to measure a piece or two of timber, which he did most cruelly wrong, and to the king's loss, 12 or 13 shillings in a piece of 28 foot in contents. Thence to the clerk of the checks, from whose house Mr. Faulkner was buried today, Sir John Minnis and I the only principal officers that were there. We walked to church with him, and then I left them, without staying the sermon, and straight home by water, and there find, as I expected, Mr. Hill and Andrews, and one slovenly and ugly fellow, Signor Pedro, who sings Italian songs to the theorbo most neatly, and they spent the whole evening in singing the best piece of music, counted of all hands in the world, made by Signor Carissimi, the famous master in Rome. Fine it was indeed, and too fine for me to judge of. They have spoke to Pedro to meet us every week, and I fear it will grow a trouble to me if we once come to bid guests to meet us, especially idle masters, which doth a little displease me to consider. They gone, comes Mr. Lanyon, who tells me Mr. Allsop is now become dangerously ill and fears his recovery, which shakes my expectation of £300 per annum by that business. And therefore bless God for what Mr. Gordon hath sent me, which from some discourse today with Mr. Osborne, swearing that he knows not anything of this business of the victualling, but the contrary, that it is not that that moves Mr. Gordon to send it me, for he hath had order for it any time these 2 months. Whether this be true or no, I know not, but I shall hence with the more confidence keep it. To supper, and to the office a little, and to walk in the garden, the moon shining bright, and fine warm fair weather, and so home to bed. The 23rd of July. Up and all the morning at the office, at noon to the change, where I took occasion to break the business of my Lord Chancellor's timber to Mr. Coventry in the best manner I could. He professed to me that till Sir George Carteret did speak of it at the table after our officers were gone to survey it, he did not know that my Lord Chancellor had anything to do with it. But now he says that he had been told by the Duke that Sir George Carteret had spoke to him about it, and that he had told the Duke that were he in my Lord Chancellor's case, if he were his father, he would rather fling away the gains of 2,000 or 3,000 pounds than have it said that the timber, which should have been the King's, if it had continued the Duke of Albemarle's, was concealed by us in favour of my Lord Chancellor. For, says he is a great man, and all such as he, and he himself particularly, have a great many enemies that will be glad of such an advantage against him. When I told him it was strange that Sir John Minnis and Sir George Carteret, that knew my Lord Chancellor's concernment therein, should not at first inform us, he answered me that for Sir John Minnis he is looked upon to be an old good companion, but by nobody at the other end of the town as any man of business, and that my Lord Chancellor, he dares say, never did tell him of it. Only Sir George Carteret, he doth believe, must needs know it, for he and Sir John Shore are the greatest confidants he hath in the world. So, for himself, he said, he would not mince the matter, but was resolved to do what was fit, and stand upon his own legs therein, and that he would speak to the Duke, that he and Sir George Carteret might be appointed to attend my Lord Chancellor in it. All this disturbs me mightily. I know not what to say to it, nor how to carry myself therein, for a compliance will discommend me to Mr. Coventry, and a discompliance to my Lord Chancellor. But I think to let it alone, or at least meddle in it as little more as I can. From thence walked toward Westminster, and being in an idle and wanton humour, walked through Fleet Alley, and there stood a most pretty wench at one of the doors. So I took a turn or two, but what by sense of honour and conscience, I would not go in. But much against my will took coach and away to Westminster Hall, and there light of Mistress Lane, and plotted with her to go over the water. So met at White Stairs in Channel Row, and over to the old house at Lambeth Marsh, and there ate and drank, and had my pleasure of her twice. She being the strangest woman in talk, of love to her husband sometimes, and sometimes again she doth not care for him, and yet willing enough to allow me a liberty of doing what I would with her. So, spending 5 or 6 shillings upon her, I could do what I would. And after an hour's stay and more, back again, and set her ashore there again, and I forward to Fleet Street, and called at Fleet Alley, not knowing how to command myself, and went in, and there saw what formerly I have been acquainted with, the wickedness of those houses, and the forcing a man to present expense. The woman, indeed, is a most lovely woman, but I had no courage to meddle with her, for fear of her not being wholesome, and so counterfeited that I had not money enough. It was pretty to see how cunning that jade was, would not suffer me to have to do in any manner with her after she saw I had no money, but told me then I would not come again, but she now was sure I would come again, though I hope in God I shall not, for though she be one of the prettiest women I ever saw, yet I fear her abusing me. So, desiring God to forgive me for this vanity, I went home taking some books home from my bookseller, and taking his lad home with me, to whom I paid £10 for books I've laid up money for, and laid out within these 3 weeks, and shall do no more a great while, I hope. So, to my office, writing letters, and then home and to bed, weary of the pleasure I've had today, and ashamed to think of it. The 24th of July. Lord's Day. Up in some pain all day from yesterday's passages, having taken cold, I suppose. So stayed within all day, reading of 2 or 3 good plays. At night to my office a little, and so home after supper to bed. The 25th of July. Up and with Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten by coach to St. James. But there, the Duke being gone out, we to my Lord Berkeley's chamber, Mr. Coventry being there, and among other things there met with a printed copy of the King's Commission for the Repair of Paul's, which is very large, and large power for collecting money and recovering of all people that had bought or sold formerly anything belonging to the church. And here I find my Lord Mayor of the city set in order before the Archbishop or any nobleman, though all the greatest officers of state are there. But yet I do not hear by my Lord Berkeley, who is one of them, that anything is like to come of it. Thence back again homeward, and Sir William Batten and I to the coffee-house, but no news, only the plague is very hot still, and increases among the Dutch. Home to dinner, and after dinner walked forth, and do what I could not keep myself from going through Fleet Lane, but had the sense of safety and honour not to go in, and the rather, being a holiday, I feared I might meet with some people that might know me. Thence to Charing Cross, and there called at Unthanks to see what I owed, but found nothing, and here, being a couple of pretty ladies, lodgers, in the kitchen, I stayed a little there. Thence to my barber Jervis's, who this day buries his child, which he had lately, which it seems was born without a passage behind, so that it never voided anything in the week or fortnight that it hath been born. Thence to Mr. Reeves, it coming just now in my head to buy a microscope, but he was not within. So I walked all round that end of the town, among the loathsome people and houses, but God be thanked had no desire to visit any of them. So home, where I met Mr. Lanyon, who tells me Mr. Allsop is past hopes, which will mightily disappoint me in my hopes there, and yet it may be not. I shall think whether it will be safe for me to venture myself or no, and come in as an adventurer. He gone, Mr. Cole, my old Jack Cole, comes to see and speak with me, and his errand, in short, to tell me that he is giving over his trade. He can do no good in it, and will turn what he hath into money, and go to sea, his father being dead and leaving him little, if anything. This I was sorry to hear, he being a man of good parts, but, I fear, debauched. I promised him all the friendship I can do him, which will end in little, though I truly mean it, and so I made him stay with me till 11 at night, talking of old school stories and very pleasing ones. And truly, I find that we did spend our time and thoughts then otherwise than I think boys do now, and I think as well as my thoughts at the best are now. He supped with me, and so away, and I to bed. And strange to see how we are all divided that were bred so long at school together, and what various fortunes we have run, some good, some bad. The 26th of July. All the morning at the office, at noon to Antony Joyce's, to our gossip's dinner. I had sent 12½ of bottles of wine thither, and paid my double share besides, which is 18 shillings. Very merry we were, and when the women were merry and riz from table, I above with them, ne'er a man but I begin discourse of my not getting of children, and prayed them to give me their opinions and advice, and they freely and merrily did give me these 10 among them. 1. Do not hug my wife too hard, nor too much. 2. Eat no late suppers. 3. Drink juice of sage. 4. Tent and toast. 5. Wear cool holland drawers. 6. Keep stomach warm and back cool. 7. Upon my query whether it was best to do at night or morn, they answered me neither one nor other, but when we have most mind to it. 8. Wife not to go too straight-laced. 9. Myself to drink mum and sugar. 10. Mistress Ward did give me to change my plate. The 3rd, 4th, 6th, 7th, and 10th, they all did seriously declare and lay much stress upon them, as rules fit to be observed indeed, and especially the last. To lie with our heads where our heels do, or at least to make the bed high at feet and low at head. Very merry all, as much as I could be in such sorry company. Great discourse of the fray yesterday in Moorfields, how the butchers at first did beat the weavers, between whom there hath been ever an old competition for mastery. But at last the weavers rallied and beat them. At first the butchers knocked down all for weavers that hath green or blue aprons, till they were fain to pull them off and put them in their breeches. At last the butchers were fain to pull off their sleeves, that they might not be known, and were soundly beaten out of the field, and some deeply wounded and bruised. Till at last the weavers went out triumphing, calling, 100 pounds for a butcher! Toward evening, I to Mr. Reeves to see a microscope, he having been with me today morning, and there chose one which I will have. Thence back and took up young Mistress Harmon, a pretty bred and pretty humoured woman, whom I could love well, though not handsome, yet for her person and carriage and black eye. By the way met her husband going for her, and set them both down at home, and so home to my office a while, and so to supper and bed. The 27th of July. Up, and after some discourse with Mr. Duke, who is to be secretary to the fishery, and is now secretary to the Committee for Trade, who I find a very ingenious man, I went to Mr. Povey's, and there heard a little of his empty discourse, and fain he would have Mr. Gordon been the victualler for Tangier, which none but a fool would say to me, when he knows he hath made it his request to me to get him something of these men that now do it. Thence to St. James's, but Mr. Coventry being ill and in bed, I did not stay, but to Whitehall a little, walked up and down, and so home to fit papers against the afternoon. And after dinner to the change a little, and then to Whitehall, where anon the Duke of York came, and a committee we had of Tangier, where I read over my rough draft of the contract for Tangier victualling, and acquainted them with the death of Mr. Allsop, which Mr. Lanyon had told me this morning. Which is a sad consideration, to see how uncertain a thing our lives are, and how little to be presumed of in our greatest undertakings. The words of the contract approved of, and I home, and there came Mr. Lanyon to me and brought my neighbour Mr. Andrews to me, whom he proposes for his partner in the room of Mr. Allsop, and I like well enough of it. We read over the contract together and discoursed it well over, and so parted. And I am glad to see it once over in this condition again, for Mr. Lanyon and I had some discourse today about my share in it, and I hope, if it goes on, to have my first hopes of £300 per annum. They gone, I to supper and to bed. This afternoon came my great store of coals in, being 10 children, so that I may see how long they will last me. The 28th of July. At the office all the morning, dined after change at home, and then abroad, and seeing the bondman upon the posts, I consulted my oaths, and find I may go safely this time without breaking it. I went thither, notwithstanding my great desire to have gone to Fleet Alley, God forgive me again. There I saw it acted. It is true, for want of practice, they had many of them forgot their parts a little. But Betterton and my poor Ianthe outdo all the world. There is nothing more taking in the world with me than that play. Thence to Westminster, to my barber's, and strange to think how when I found that Jervis himself did intend to bring home my periwig, and not Jane, his maid, I did desire not to have it at all, for I had a mind to have her bring it home. I also went to Mr. Blagrave's about speaking to him for his kinswoman to come live with my wife. But they are not come to town, and so I home by coach, and to my office, and then to supper and to bed. My present posture is this. My wife in the country, and my maid Bess with her, and all quiet there. I'm endeavouring to find a woman for her to my mind, and above all, one that understands music, especially singing. I am the willinger to keep one because I'm in good hopes to get £200 or £300 per annum extraordinary by the business of the victualling of Tangier. And yet Mr. Allsop, my chief hopes, is dead since my looking after it, and now Mr. Lanyon, I fear, is falling sick too. I am pretty well in health, only subject to wind upon any cold, and then immediate and great pains. All our discourse is of a Dutch war, and I find it is likely to come to it, for they are very high, and desire not to compliment us at all as far as I hear, but to send a good fleet to Guinea to oppose us there. My Lord Sandwich newly gone to sea, and I think, fallen into his very good opinion again, at least he did before his going, and by his letter since show me all manner of respect and confidence. I am overjoyed in hopes that upon this month's account I shall find myself worth £1,000, besides the rich present of 2 silver and gilt flagons which Mr. Gordon did give me the other day. I do now live very prettily at home, being most seriously, quietly, and neatly served by my 2 maids, Jane and the girl Sue, with both of whom I am mightily well pleased. My greatest trouble is the settling of Brampton Estate, that I may know what to expect and how to be able to leave it when I die, so as to be just to my promise to my Uncle Thomas and his son. The next thing is this cursed trouble my brother Tom is likely to put us to by his death, forcing us to law with his creditors, among others Dr. Tom Pepys, and that with some shame, as trouble. And the last, how to know in what manner, as to saving or spending, my father lives, lest they should run me in debt, as one of my uncle's executors, and I never the wiser nor better for it. But in all this I hope shortly to be at leisure to consider and inform myself well. The 29th of July. At the office all the morning dispatching of business, at noon to the change after dinner, and thence to Tom Trice about Dr. Pepys's business, and thence, it raining, turned into Fleet Alley, and there was with Cock an hour or so. The jade, whether she thought I would not give her money or not enough, she would not offer to invite to do anything, but the contrary, saying she had them, which I was glad of, for I had no mind to meddle with her, but had my end to see what a cunning jade she was, to see her impudent tricks and ways of getting money, and raising the reckoning by still calling for things, that it came to 6 or 7 shillings presently. So away home, glad I escaped without any inconvenience, and there came Mr. Hill, Andrews, and Signor Pedro, and great store of music we had, but I begin to be weary of having a master with us, for it spoils, methinks, the ingenuity of our practice. After they were gone comes Mr. Bland to me, and sat till 11 at night with me, talking of the garrison of Tangier, and serving them with pieces of 8. A mind he hath to be employed there, but dares not desire any courtesy of me, and yet would fain engage me to be for him, for I perceive they do all find that I am the busy man to see the king have right done him, by inquiring out other bidders. Being quite tired with him, I got him gone, and so to bed. The 30th of July. All the morning at the office, at noon to the change, where great talk of a rich present, brought by an East India ship from some of the princes of India, worth to the king £70,000 in 2 precious stones. After dinner to the office, and there all the afternoon, making an end of several things against the end of the month, that I may clear all my reckonings tomorrow. Also, this afternoon, with great content, I finished the contract for victualling of Tangier with Mr. Lanyon and the rest, and to my comfort got him and Andrews to sign to the giving me £300 per annum, by which at least I hope to be £100 or 2 the better. wrote many letters by the post to ease my mind of business and to clear my paper of minutes, as I did lately oblige myself to clear everything against the end of the month. So, at night, with my mind quiet and contented, to bed. This day I sent a side of venison and 6 bottles of wine to Kate Joyce. The 31st of July, Lord's Day. Up and to church, where I have not been these many weeks. So home, and thither, inviting him yesterday, comes Mr. Hill, at which I was a little troubled, but made up all very well, carrying him with me to Sir John Minnis, where I was invited, and all our families, to a venison pasty. Here good cheer and good discourse. After dinner, Mr. Hill and I to my house, and there to music all the afternoon, he being gone in the evening, I to my accounts. And to my great joy, and with great thanks to Almighty God, I do find myself most clearly worth £1,014, the first time that ever I was worth £1,000 before, which is the height of all that ever I have for a long time pretended to. But by the blessing of God upon my care, I hope to lay up something more in a little time, if this business of the victualling of Tangier goes on as I hope it will. So, with praise to God for this state of fortune that I am brought to as to wealth, and my condition being, as I have at large set it down 2 days ago in this book, I home to supper and to bed, desiring God to give me the grace to make good use of what I have, and continue my care and diligence to gain more. August 1664. The First. Up, my mind, very light from my last night's accounts, and so up and with Sir John Minnis, Sir William Batten, and Sir William Penn to St. James, where, among other things, having prepared with some industry every man apart this morning, and no sooner, for fear they should either consider of it or discourse of it one to another, Mr. Coventry did move the Duke, and obtain it that one of the clerks of the Clerk of the Acts shall have an addition of £30 a year, as Mr. Turner hath, which I am glad of, that I may give Thomas Hayter £20, and keep £10 toward a boy's keeping. Thence Mr. Coventry and I to the attorney's chamber at the Temple, but not being there, we parted, and I home, and there with great joy told Thomas Hayter what I had done, with which the poor wretch was very glad, though his modesty would not suffer him to say much. So to the coffee-house, and there all the house full of the victory, General Souche, who is a Frenchman, a soldier of fortune, commanding part of the German army, hath had against the Turk, killing 4,000 men, and taking most extraordinary spoil. Thence, taking up Harmon and his wife, carried them to Anthony Joyce's, where we had my venison in a pasty. Well done. But, Lord, to see how much they made of it, as if they had never et any before. And very merry we were, but Will most troublesomely so. And I find he and his wife have a most wretched life one with another. But we took no notice, but were very merry as I could be in such company. But Mistress Harmon is a very pretty-humoured wretch, whom I could love with all my heart, being so good and innocent company. Thence to Westminster to Mr. Blagrave's, and there, after singing a thing or two over, I spoke to him about a woman for my wife, and he offered me his kinswoman, which I was glad of, but she is not at present well. But, however, I hope to have her. Thence to my Lord Chancellor's, and thence with Mr. Coventry, who appointed to meet me there, and with him to the Attorney General, and there with Sir Philip Warwick, consulted of a new commission to be had through the Broad Seal, to enable us to make this contract for Tangier Victualling. So home, and there talked long with Will about the young woman of his family, which he spoke of for to live with my wife. But though she hath very many good qualities, yet being a neighbour's child, and young and not very staid, I dare not venture of having her, because of her being able to spread any report of our family upon any discontent among the heart of our neighbours. So that my dependence is upon Mr. Blagrave, and so home, to supper, and to bed. Last night at 12 o'clock I was waked with knocking at Sir William Penn's door, and what was it but people's running up and down to bring him word that his brother, Captain Penn, who hath been a good while, it seems, sick, is dead. The 2nd of August. at the office all the morning, at noon dined, and then to the change, and there walked 2 hours or more with Sir William Warren, who, after much discourse in general of Sir William Batten's dealings, he fell to talk how everybody must live by their places, and that he was willing, if I desired it, that I should go shares with him in anything that he deals in. He told me again and again, too, that he confesses himself my debtor £100 for my service and friendship to him in his present great contract of masts, and that between this and Christmas he shall be in stock and will pay it me. This I like well, but do not desire to become a merchant, and therefore will put it off, but desired time to think of it. Thence to the King's Playhouse, and there saw Bartholomew Fair, which doth still please me, and is, as it is acted, the best comedy in the world, I believe. I chanced to sit by Tom Killigrew, who tells me that he is setting up a nursery, that is going to build a house in Moorfields, wherein he will have common plays acted, but 4 operas it shall have in the year, to act 6 weeks at a time, where we shall have the best scenes and machines, the best music, and everything as magnificent as is in Christendom, and to that end hath sent for voices and painters and other persons from Italy. Thence homeward, called upon my Lord Marlborough, and so home into my office, and then to Sir William Penn, and with him and our fellow officers and servants of the house and none else, to church to lay his brother in the ground, wherein nothing handsome at all, but that he lays him under the communion table in the chancel, about 9 at night. So home, and to bed. The 3rd of August. Up betimes and set some joiners on work to new lay my floor in our wardrobe, which I intend to make a room for music. Thence abroad to Westminster, among other things to Mr. Blagrave's, and there have his consent for his kinswoman to come to be with my wife for her woman, at which I'm well pleased, and hope she may do well. Thence to Whitehall to meet with Sir George Carteret about hiring some ground to make our mastock at Deptford, but being council morning, failed. But met with Mr. Coventry, and he and I discoursed of the likeliness of a Dutch war, which I think is very likely now, for the Dutch do prepare a fleet to oppose us at Guinea. And he doth think we shall, though neither of us hath a mind to it, fall into it of a sudden. And yet the plague doth increase among them, and is got into their fleet, and Obdam's own ship, which makes it strange they should be so high. Thence to the change, and thence home to dinner, and down by water to Woolwich to the rope yard, and there visited Mistress Faulkner, who tells me odd stories how Sir William Penn was rewarded by her husband with a gold watch, but seems not certain of what Sir William Batten told me, of his daughter having a life given her in £80 per annum, for his helping him to his place, and yet cost him £150 to Mr. Coventry besides. He did much advise, it seems, Mistress Faulkner not to marry again, expressing that he would have him make his daughter his heir, or words to that purpose, and it is that that makes him, she thinks, so cold in giving her any satisfaction. And that William Bodham hath publicly said, since he came down thither to be clerk of the rope yard, that it hath this week cost him £100, and would be glad that it would cost him but half as much more for the place. And that he was better before than now, and that if he had been to have bought it, he would not have given so much for it. Now I am sure Mr. Coventry hath again and again said that he would take nothing, but would give all his part in it freely to him, that so the widow might have something. What the meaning of this is, I know not, but that Sir William Penn doth get something by it. Thence to the dockyard, and there saw the new ship in great forwardness. So home, and to supper, and then to the office, where late, Mr. Bland and I talking about Tangier business. And so home, to bed. The 4th of August. Up betimes into the office, fitting myself against a great dispute about the East India Company, which spent afterward with us all the morning. At noon dined with Sir William Penn, a piece of beef only, and I counterfeited a friendship and mirth which I cannot have with him. Yet out with him by his coach, and he did carry me to a play, and pay for me at the King's House, which is The Rival Ladies, a very innocent and most pretty witty play. I was much pleased with it, and it being given me, I look upon it as no breach to my oath. Here we hear that Clun, one of their best actors, was the last night going out of town, after he had acted the alchemist, wherein was one of his best parts that he acts, to his country house, was set upon and murdered. One of the rogues taken, an Irish fellow, it seems most cruelly butchered and bound. The house will have a great miss of him. Thence visited my Lady Sandwich, who tells me my Lord Fitz Harding is to be made a marquis. Thence home to my office late, and so to supper and to bed. The 5th and 6th of August. Up very betimes, and set my plasterer to work about whiting and colouring my music-room, which having with great pleasure seen done, about 10 o'clock I dressed myself, and so mounted upon a very pretty mare, sent me by Sir William Warren according to his promise yesterday, and so through the city, not a little proud, God knows, to be seen upon so pretty a beast, and to my cousin William Joyce's, who presently mounted too, and he and I out of town toward Highgate, in the way at Kentish Town, showing me the place and manner of Clun's being killed and laid in a ditch, and yet was not killed by any wounds, having only one in his arm, but bled to death through his struggling. He told me also the manner of it, of his going home so late, drinking with his whore, and manner of having it found out. Thence forward to Barnet, and there drank, and so by night to Stevenage, it raining a little, but not much. And there, to my great trouble, find that my wife was not come, nor any Stamford coach gone down this week, so that she cannot come. So, vexed and weary, and not thoroughly out of pain neither in my old parts, I, after supper, to bed. And after a little sleep, William Joyce comes in his shirt into my chamber, with a note and a messenger from my wife that she was come by York coach to Bigglesworth, and would be with us tomorrow morning. So, I mightily pleased at her discreet action in this business, I, with peace, to sleep again till next morning. So, up, and here lay Dean Honeywood last night. I met and talked with him this morning, and a simple priest he is, though a good well-meaning man. William Joyce and I to a game of bowls on the green there, till 8 o'clock, and then comes my wife in the coach, and a coach full of women, only one man riding by, gone down last night to meet a sister of his coming to town. So, very joyful, drank there, not lighting, and we mounted and away with them to Welling, and there light and dined very well and merry, and glad to see my poor wife. Here very merry, as being weary I could be, and after dinner out again and to London. In our way, all the way the mightiest merry at a couple of young gentlemen come down to meet the same gentlewoman that ever I was in my life, and so William Joyce too, to see how one of them was horsed upon a hard-trotting sorrel horse, and both of them soundly weary and galled, but it is not to be set down how merry we were all the way. We light in Holborn, and so by another coach my wife and maid home, and I by horseback, and so at home found all things well and most mighty neat and clean. So after welcoming my wife, a little to the office, and so home to supper, and then, weary and not very well, to bed. The 7th of August. Lord's Day. Lay long, caressing my wife and talking, she telling me sad stories of the ill, improvident, disquiet and sluttish manner that my father and mother and Paul live in the country, which troubles me mightily, and I must seek to remedy it. So up and ready, and my wife also, and then down, and I showed my wife, to her great admiration and joy, Mr. Gordon's present of plate, the 2 flagons, which indeed are so noble, that I hardly can think that they are yet mine. So, blessing God for it, we down to dinner, mighty pleasant, and so up after dinner for a while, and I then to Whitehall, walked thither, having at home met with a letter of Captain Cook's, with which he had sent a boy for me to see, whom he did intend to recommend to me. I therefore went, and there met and spoke with him. He gives me great hopes of the boy, which pleases me, and at chapel I there met Mr. Blagrave, who gives a report of the boy, and he showed me him, and I spoke to him, and the boy seems a good-willing boy to come to me, and I hope will do well. I am to speak to Mr. Townsend to hasten his clothes for him, and then he is to come. So I walked homeward and met with Mr. Spong, and he with me as far as the old exchange, talking of many ingenious things, music, and at last of glasses, and I find him still the same ingenious man that ever he was, and doth, among other fine things, tell me that by his microscope of his own making, he doth discover that the wings of a moth is made just as the feathers of the wing of a bird, and that most plainly and certainly. While we were talking, came by several poor creatures carried by constables, for being at a conventicle. They go like lambs without any resistance. I would to God they would either conform, or be more wise and not be catched. Thence parted with him, mightily pleased with his company, and away homeward, calling at Dan Rawlinson, and supped there with my Uncle White, and then home, and ate again for form's sake with her, and then to prayers and to bed. The 8th of August. Up and abroad with Sir William Batten by coach to St. James, where, by the way, he did tell me how Sir John Minnis would many times arrogate to himself the doing of that that all the board had equal share in, and more, that to himself which he hath had nothing to do in, and particularly the late paper given in by him to the Duke, the translation of a Dutch print concerning the quarrel between us and them, which he did give as his own when it was Sir Richard Ford's wholly. Also, he told me how Sir William Penn, it falling in our discourse touching Mistress Faulkner, was at first very great for Mr. Coventry to bring him in guests, and that at high rates, for places, and very open was he to me therein. After business done with the Duke, I to the coffee-house and so home to dinner, and after dinner to hang up my fine pictures in my dining-room, which makes it very pretty. And so my wife and I abroad to the King's Playhouse, she giving me her time of the last month, she having not seen any then, so my vow is not broke at all, it costing me no more money than it would have done upon her, had she gone both her times that were due to her. Here we saw Flora's Figaries. I never saw it before, and by the most ingenious performance of the young jade Flora, it seemed as pretty a pleasant play as ever I saw in my life. So, home to supper, and then to my office late. Mr. Andrews and I, to talk about our victualling commission, and then he being gone, I to set down my 4 days' past journals and expenses, and so home to bed. The 9th of August. Up and to my office, and there we sat all the morning. At noon, home, and there by appointment Mr. Blagrave came and dined with me, and brought a friend of his of the chapel with him. Very merry at dinner, and then up to my chamber, and there we sung a psalm or two of Lawes's. Then he and I a little talk by ourselves of his kinswoman that is to come to live with my wife, who is to come about 10 days hence, and I hope will do well. They gone, I to my office, and there, my head being a little troubled with the little wine I drank, though mixed with beer, but it may be a little more than I used to do, and yet I cannot say so, I went home, and spent the afternoon with my wife talking. And then, in the evening, a little to my office, and so home to supper and to bed. This day came the news that the Emperor hath beat the Turk, killed the Grand Vizier, and several great bashers, with an army of 80,000 men killed and routed, with some considerable loss of his own side, having lost 3 generals, and the French forces all cut off almost, which is thought as good a service to the Emperor as beating the Turk almost, for had they conquered, they would have been as troublesome to him. The 10th of August. Up, and being ready, abroad to do several small businesses, among others, to find out one to engrave my tables upon my new sliding rule with silver plates, it being so small that Brown, that made it, cannot get one to do it. So I found out Cocker, the famous writing-master, and got him to do it, and I sat an hour by him to see him design it all, and strange it is, to see him with his natural eyes to cut so small at his first designing it, and read it all over without any missing, when, for my life, I could not with my best skill read one word or letter of it, but it is use. But he says that the best light, for his life, to do a very small thing by, contrary to Chaucer's words to the sun, that he should lend his light to them that small seals grave, it should be by an artificial light of a candle, set to advantage as he could do it. I find the fellow, by his discourse, very ingenious, and among other things a great admirer, and well read in all our English poets, and undertakes to judge of them all, and that not impertinently. Well pleased with his company, and better with his beginning upon my rule, I left him and home, whither Mr. Dean by agreement came to me, and dined with me, and by chance Gunner Batter's wife. After dinner, Dean and I great discourse again about my Lord Chancellor's timber, out of which I wish I may get well. Thence I to Cocker's again and sat by him, with good discourse again for an hour or two, and then left him, and by agreement with Captain Silas Taylor, my old acquaintance at the Exchequer, to the post office, to hear some instrument music of Mr. Birchenshaw's, before my Lord Brunkard and Sir Robert Murray. I must confess whether it be that I hear it but seldom, or that really voices is better, but so it is that I found no pleasure at all in it, and methought two voices were worth 20 of it. So home to my office a while, and then to supper and to bed. The 11th of August. Up and through pain, to my great grief, forced to wear my gown to keep my legs warm. At the office all the morning, and there a high dispute against Sir William Batten and Sir William Penn about the breadth of canvas again, they being for the making of it narrower, I and Mr. Coventry and Sir John Minnis for the keeping it broader. So home to dinner, and by and by comes Mr. Creed, lately come from the Downs, and dined with me. I show him a good countenance, but love him not for his base ingratitude to me. However, abroad carried my wife to buy things at the New Exchange, and so to my Lady Sandwich's, and there merry, talking with her a great while, and so home, whither comes Cocker with my rule, which he hath engraved to admiration for goodness and smallness of work. It cost me 14 shillings the doing, and mightily pleased I am with it. By and by, he gone, comes Mr. Moore, and stayed talking with me a great while about my lord's businesses, which I fear will be in a bad condition for his family, if my lord should miscarry at sea. He gone, I late to my office, and cannot forbear admiring and consulting my new rule, and so home to supper and to bed. This day, for a wager before the king, my lords of Castlehaven and Arran, a son of my lord of Ormond's, they two alone did run down and kill a stout buck in St. James's Park. The 12th of August. Up and all the morning busy at the office with Sir William Warren about a great contract for New England masts, wherein I was very hard with him, even to the making him angry. But I thought it fit to do it, as well as just for me on the king's behalf. At noon to the change a little, and so to dinner, and then out by coach, setting my wife and maid down, going to Stevens, the silversmith's, to change some old silver lace, and to go buy new silk lace for a petticoat. I to Whitehall, and did much business at a Tangier committee, where, among other things, speaking about propriety of the houses there, and how we ought to let the Portuguese have right done them, as many of them as continue or did sell the houses while they were in possession, and something further in their favour. The Duke, in an anger I never observed in him before, did cry, says he, "All the world rides us, and I think we shall never ride anybody." Thence home, and though late, yet Pedro being there, he sang a song and parted. I did give him 5 shillings, but find it burdensome, and so will break up the meeting. At night is brought home our poor Fancy, which to my great grief continues lame still, so that I wish she had not been brought ever home again, for it troubles me to see her.